Good morning. I learned to fish at a young age. It's already funny. It's funny. So I remember my granddad would take me in Lake Havasu on his motorcycle, and he'd take me in different spots, and we would fish. He taught me things. My dad taught me mostly how to fish. I remember there was this little private lake slash pond in Oregon, kind of middle of nowhere, and he would teach me how to fish. He taught me his tactics, you know, for his, you know, how to cast, how to make sure the end of the pole was down when I'm reeling in, how to make sure the line was tight, bringing in the fish. And I remember, you know, failing and having success, and not necessarily doing it like my dad, but learning from my dad. He was taught by someone, I'm assuming his dad, because my grandpa fishes. And I have passed some of those things on to my son. I don't know how much he'll use those in his life, but there's a story about when I was really young on a fishing boat. It's kind of funny, but there's actually a picture of it. I'm sitting on my dad's lap, and we're on this pontoon boat, and I have a fish, and he, I remember when he was talking about it, he was giggling, and I was in my, I think, 30s at the time. And he said, you know that you and your sisters caught the same fish. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, somehow, you know, that same fish was hooked on your sister's line and hooked on your other sister's line. And so in the process of us learning how to fish, I guess my dad caught the fish, and then behind our backs, he stuck it on my sister's hook, threw it in the water, and she got to catch a fish and was stoked, and then threw it on my other sister's hook, and she got to catch a fish, and then eventually threw it on mine, and I got it. And I don't know where he learned all this stuff, but I have gained that knowledge, and I use it occasionally when I go fishing. But this is like kind of it's a minor thing. You know, most of us in our lives, we have things that we're taught as kids, sometimes as adults. Whether it's baking, sewing, sometimes it's playing an instrument, whether it's the right way or just another way, your parents teach you something, your grandparents teach you something. You have things that are passed down from generation to generation. And oftentimes we don't ask where it came from. We just learn, right? And if we like it enough, we pass it on. There's probably something you can think back of and think about, man, you know, I wonder where my parents got that. Or maybe you have a recipe, right? And it was my grandma's recipe, my grandma's grandma, and my grandma's grandma. But at some point, where was the origin? Like even in fishing, I don't know where the origin of fishing came from. The disciples fished. We know that reading in the Bible, but I don't know where the origin of that practice came from. This morning, we're going to read about the origin of the gospel and learn that it's not from man. It's not that some guy made it up on a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to learn that it's from God. It's about God. The theme for this morning is the gospel is of God and from God. We've been working our way through Galatians, the first half last week Brian started. We looked at the fact that there's no other gospel. Yet these Galatians were thwarted. They were a church, maybe just like us, probably not in a building like us, but there were people that had learned the gospel, but someone came in and kind of told them something different. And they kind of went the wrong way. You ever been in a spot where you learned something and later on you learned something else and it kind of made you take a left turn or a right turn, and before you know it, you may not know what you know and why you know it? Although that sounds like Dr. Seuss, we're gonna clear it up. If you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to read this morning out of the book of Galatians. This is chapter 1. But Pastor Brian spoke last week about the first half of chapter 1 again, that these Galatians were thwarted. They were kind of looking at a different gospel or a changed gospel. And Pastor Brian kind of let us know that the gospel is God's way to bring us home. There is no other gospel. But what I want us to see this morning, the main thing, is that it is from God. And it is of God. So as we jump into Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remain with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And when I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Let's pray. Lord, a simple prayer for you, for us this morning. Pray that you would teach us the things we don't know. Draw us closer to you. Help us to live lives according to your call. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Brian, I tried to turn that thing off. I didn't, so I got a cough, so bear with me. Sorry. Talk about a fail. All right, we've got this theme this morning, that the gospel is from God and is of God. What I want us to see is starting even in last week's sermon, we have some people that have come into this Galatian church. It was a church in Galatia. In fact, John, if you can pull up that map, one of the slides we have is a map. This is a church, or several churches, excuse me. North, there's no map. Okay, no map. So, northwest of Jerusalem, when you go up around the bend of the Mediterranean, there's an area called Galatia, and there's several churches in there. And so, Paul is writing this letter to these churches that he has been to and started some of. And he's defending, if you will, some of his faith. He's defending the gospel. He's defending some of his apostleship. And so he started this kind of argument. There you go. So down here, bottom right, there's a little blue spot. That's the Dead Sea. Above it, the littler one, is the Sea of Galilee. And if you go up around and then to the left, up there in the yellow, it says Galatia. These are the churches he's writing to. Pretty far from Jerusalem, but people had come in there, possibly Judaizers, and they had warped what was going on. And so Paul is writing this letter, and in this letter he's telling them, specifically this morning where we're reading, the gospel is not from me. The gospel is not from man, the gospel is from God. He starts off by looking at this. We're going to just see this point, that God gave the gospel to Paul. That's kind of the first point I want us to see. God gave the gospel to Paul. Verse 11, again, 11 and 12, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor as I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not a story that was handed down father to son, like fishing. It was not something that a nephew was told by his uncle. This is not something that a neighbor shared with their neighbor just on their own. Nor was a man sitting up in his window somewhere seeing an awesome sunset and then just thought he'd write a poem or a beautiful song. This is God's truth, God's revelation. We know in Acts 9, Paul, who used to be Saul, was called. Paul was an opponent of the church. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Paul is saying, I didn't get it from any man, but God gave it to me. And not only did he give it to me, he didn't really teach it to me. The words there are quite interesting, right? For look in 12, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. That the word revelation gives this connotation of, go figure, revealing. Almost as if Paul was blinded, or he had a veil over him, or he was unable to see. And when God met him, Jesus spoke to him and told him who he was, and he revealed the gospel to him. Let's look at Acts 9. I'll read it to you. This is Paul on his way to Damascus, right? So I'll give you a little background. Paul was this up-and-coming Jew, up-and-coming man in Judaism. Running with the Pharisees, super educated, and he was getting Christians and binding them up, taking them to prison, seeing to their death. And he's on his way to Damascus, which is north, north, north of Israel. It says, he was on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Jesus met Paul on the way to Jerusalem. Excuse me, on the way to Damascus from Jerusalem. He had been given letters, but God had this supernatural interaction with Paul. Wasn't sharing a recipe. Wasn't teaching him how to fish. Wasn't teaching him how to sow. God gave this to him, not even in words, it just in a revelation. Do you understand that the gospel that we live by and live through is handed down from God? It is authoritative. It is transcendent. It reaches into your heart, into your soul, into your bones, and changes your life. And we're going to see about that in here. But some of us walk around not really knowing the full of the gospel, where it came from, who wrote it, when they wrote it, why they wrote it. And we have a world out there that doesn't believe it as such. They would take it just as much as the history books that we have our children read, or just as much as a poetry collection. But God revealed his son to Paul. So what I want us to see here, as we're going to jump right through this, is after God had this revelation, he calls Paul and he transforms Paul. These two are kind of intermingled in this text. I believe he called Paul, did some transforming later, but Paul kind of goes into the transforming right off the bat. So I want us to see the next point is that God transformed Paul with the gospel. We have God transformed Paul with the gospel, and God called Paul with the gospel. As we move on in Galatians, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age and among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone." Paul is now going into this defense of who he is and this gospel. He's saying, when I got it from God, when God came to me and spoke to me, I didn't go to the apostles who knew Jesus. I didn't go to the disciples who were taught by him. I went to Arabia. He's saying, I don't have this human taught story. And in fact, he gives backup here with him. What he does is he tells the history of his life a little bit. He gives some credence to what he's telling these people by saying, look at who I was. Look at what I was doing. He persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Paul was an enemy of God. Paul was an enemy of the church. Paul was an enemy of the Christians. Paul was taking them to jail. Paul was standing by when Stephen was stoned. And the witnesses threw their garments at his feet. Another man couldn't just walk up to him and say, "Hey, Paul, you should just stop this. I got a story you should read." That wouldn't change a man's mind. He was passionately attacking the church of God. If we look at Acts 22, one through 5. We'll just start in verse 3. "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, brought up in this city, which was Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way," that's Christianity, the way, to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers as I journeyed toward Damascus, to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. It's like Paul's goal, Paul's mission was to destroy the church. Paul was a literal enemy of God, a literal enemy of the Christians and the church. Odd thing is, he thought he was serving God. He thought he was right. And you remember before you became a believer? Anyone remember back that far, unless it was last week or 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Usually we go through life thinking we're right. We don't go, I'm wrong today. Let's just have breakfast in my wrongness, right? We've talked about that, you know, plenty of times. But we think we're right until something changes. And sometimes it's kind of like anything. But when God meets you and God reveals his son to you, whether it's through an actual meeting with Jesus or someone reading the gospel that is not from man but from God, it penetrates your heart. And something inside you goes, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not right. Maybe that story is a little bit bigger. Maybe that story is a little bit different than I remember it. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And in 1 Timothy 1, this is powerful. This is Paul that wrote this. "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service." Now think of this. We pause that. Think of this as someone defending what they're talking about. Like these people came into the church and they're saying, "Paul, that's not God's gospel. That's not God's news. I don't believe what you're saying is true." And so he's saying, well, this is Brandonese about what he did. "Did you know me back then? Do you know what I was about? Do you know what I did? Do you know who I was? Do you know who I killed? Do you know who I imprisoned? Do you know what I was doing?" And in Timothy, he says this, verse 12 of chapter 1, "I thank God who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Paul's saying, I was a bad guy. I was against this. And now, not only am I for it, not only do I know it and do I believe it, I have given my life for it and to it. Okay. That's quite all right. No worries. But Paul, called by God, given the gospel by God through actual spiritual revelation, called him from darkness to light, transforms his life. You ever know anyone that was like a bad guy or a bad girl and then they came to Jesus? I know there's some people in this church that not too long ago didn't believe in Jesus. And not only do they believe in Jesus, they've given their life to Jesus, they come to church and they're serving Jesus. I can't make someone do that. You can't make someone do that. It's only the power of God that reaches into someone's heart and does this. And that's what Paul's saying. Don't forget, the gospel that we believe in is not just made up. It's the power of God for salvation, for all who would believe. And God called Paul with that. So we've got the calling of Paul and the transforming of Paul. And again, he's giving his background. This part blows my mind. When we talk about the power of God and the timing of God. If we look at verse 15, Galatians 1. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. One, you see the grace of God? God reached down to a man who was trying to kill his followers and didn't stomp him, which is what I'd have done. So would you. Can you imagine your kids outside and someone chased them around trying to imprison or kill them? You would just be like, done, you're gone. You're not even on the earth anymore. You're gone. Gone. God had the grace and mercy that he just stopped Paul. And he showed him the truth. And he called him to his service. It's pretty weird, but that's the same thing he did to you and I. Now, we weren't on the road to Damascus. Your name wasn't Saul, nor was mine. I hope you weren't killing Christians. But guess what? There's forgiveness. But we were enemies of God. The Bible tells us while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And Paul is, again, he's defending this. Like, do you realize what God did in my life? The Christians were, in a sense, running from Paul. The disciples didn't want anything to do with him. And he was on his way again, if you think of that map, from Jerusalem, going up to Damascus, looking for more. But the trippy thing is what Paul says here. Sorry. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, this meeting on the road to Damascus was God's timing. That was when God chose to reveal him. Paul had heard of Jesus and was still fighting against him. Paul knew who Jesus was at some level and was fighting his believers, his followers, and God allowed it. Which means God's timing was, okay, I will let this man ravage my church. I will let Stephen get stoned. I will let Christians get persecuted. I will let them get put in jail. And then at this moment, on that road, I will call this man out and I will turn him around and bring him to my side. Are there any opponents of Christianity that you know of today and you think, wow, there ain't no hope for that person? Why is God allowing that person to do this? Why is God allowing people to try to stamp out God in America? Are you kidding me? Read the Bible. I don't like it, but we shouldn't be surprised that God allows it for certain times. And God may take the very person trying to stamp out Christianity, meet him on a road one day and go, hey, guess what? Have I got news for you? Have I got news for you? Have I got a plan for you? And it has nothing to do with man invented. You can close your history book. You can turn your radio station off. You can shut the TV down. Because I'm going to penetrate your heart and your mind, and I'm going to transform your life and take you from the dark to the light. Again, that's what God did with us. Now, we may not see it as such, because what we do is we weigh sins. Like, I was just a little liar. That's it. I just lied. I just stole a pack of gum. That guy over there, he punched a horse. I don't know where that came from. Whatever. But guess what? If you punch a horse, God might be mad at you. I don't know. I'm not saying. But there are people that we have these sins and we're like, that's a bad guy. I'll tell you a story. I'm just going to say it. So, my brother-in-law's sister was killed like 2 years ago by a drunk driver in the middle of the day. And when they sentenced the man, my brother-in-law just wanted to go there to tell him about God's forgiveness. A man that killed his sister. That only comes from God. That's not human. I wouldn't buy that at the market. I'd like to buy some forgiveness nuggets, please, because I'm out of forgiveness. I'm going to munch those things up, right? We don't buy that. We only get it from God. And this is all wrapped up within the gospel because God forgave us, right? We put Christ on the cross. Or God put him there, excuse me. But because of our sins. But God's timing, again, for him to go, I'm not ready to call Saul yet. I'm not pleased to call Saul yet. Nope, 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 now. So don't give up on that man or that woman that you have in your mind and you think there is no hope for them. Or I want God to stamp them out. Because we would have thought probably this is probably the worst opponent human-wise that the Christians had at the time. And God not only stopped him, but God turned him around and used him as the biggest evangelist the world has ever known other than Jesus himself. Literally. Thousands and thousands of miles this man traveled for God. And he was the enemy, and God transformed him. Not because it was some fairy tale, but because it was the power of God that he was revealed to Paul and changed his life. So, the gospel was given to Paul by God. And Paul was transformed by the gospel. Paul was called with the gospel. The last thing I want us to see here is God sent Paul with the gospel. He sent Paul with the gospel. We'll jump into 16. This is when God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, that's way to the east, outside of Israel completely, and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And when I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. God sent Paul. He showed him the gospel. He called him with the gospel. He transformed him with the gospel, and he sent him to preach the gospel. He probably preached it in Arabia. He didn't go down right when he learned about Jesus, right when God revealed Jesus to him. He didn't go to the disciples. He didn't go to the apostles. He didn't call a town hall meeting and say, teach me all of it. He knew it. Nor did he need their approval. He had God's approval. But after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem. 3 years to go meet Peter. And the word there, the Greek word, is to kind of get acquainted with. I'm guessing he was like, what's it been like the last 3 years? What was it like to walk with Jesus? What was it like to go up on the mountain and see him? What was it like at the beginning? What was it like when, can you imagine, for 15 days they hung out? 15 days they hung out. Learning something from Peter, gaining knowledge about Peter. But then he goes to Syria and Cilicia, which is up, if you look at that map again, it's up the coast and around to the Gentiles. And God told him that he was going to be a preacher to the Gentiles. So he starts. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he had missionary journeys all over that world right there. I mean, all over. On his feet, in boats, shipwrecks, imprisonment, stones, thrown out of towns. All because God called him. All because God transformed him. And then because God sent him. You know that God knows your days. He knew your days before you were born. The Bible tells us that before we were formed, when we were formed in our mother's womb, before we were born, God had our days written. Which means he knows your whole life. Ephesians 2:10, we've talked about so many times. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. Which means God created you, he has good works for you, and that he has a plan for you to walk in them. Which means God already has things that he has you to be sent to do. All through this gospel that he gave us. And just like God sent Paul, God sent each one of us. The same Holy Spirit that grabbed a hold of Paul, grabbed a hold of you and I. And if you're not a believer and you're here wondering and you feel something tugging, that's the same Holy Spirit trying to grab a hold of you. Don't fight it. We can talk all you want. But that same Holy Spirit grabbed you and I. That same Holy Spirit called you and I. The same Holy Spirit transformed you and I, and the Holy Spirit sends you and I. Matthew 28:18-20. This is one of the verses that we go over all the time in this church. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. I am with you always to the end of the age. That's to his disciples. We're his disciples. Check it out. Those disciples obeyed this, and we're the result. What happens if we obey it? Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Those disciples obeyed it. We're the result. What happens if we obey? And then there's this verse, Brian and Dustin, you can come on up. We're just about to end here. In Romans 10, I'm going to read this one just so I don't flip-flop it with my dyslexia, weirdness, whatever, my weirdness. I'm really not that weird. If you think I am, it's probably you, not me. Just, you know. Just kidding, sort of. When Paul's talking about us preaching, he says this, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without anyone preaching, someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of the gospel that originated and was written by God Almighty, that was handed to Paul in a revelation. And through that gospel, he called Paul. Through that gospel, he transformed Paul. With the gospel, he sent Paul." And there's a little line on your outlines next to those things. There should be, I think the way. It's just like a, and me too, and us too, and me too. Because that same gospel was handed to you. Same gospel transforms you. The same gospel calls you, and the same gospel is what you are sent to do. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. But how lucky we are that we don't serve a God that was made up with pen and ink. We don't serve a God that disappears with the seasons and the tides. We don't even serve a God that stood up top and waited till we came to him. We serve the one and only God that created us and loved us. And when we messed up, he said, "I will go to you. And I will take your mess up and I'll put it on my son so that he can take your penalty so you're free of penalty and you can be with me for eternity." You believe that? Has it transformed your life? Will you share that? As we sing, we're going to take communion and just maybe think about the death and resurrection of Jesus within that gospel story. It's real. It's powerful. It's a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for working immaculately, perfectly, in ways that we would not have written, in timing that we would not have timed. But you're sovereign and awesome and wonderful and merciful and graceful and forgiving and loving. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your gospel, for calling us. Help us to be instruments that help others see that you're calling them too. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.